Look, but okay, my mind is all over the place today. If Nathan, something about Wednesday, I don't know what it is. Nathan, if Nathan Peterman is a Seinfeld character, Cody Riley sounds like a professional wrestler.
Okay.
Cody Riley absolutely sounds like a professional wrestler. But like an independent professional wrestler that everybody loves. Like, it's going to be
like Joey Ryan?
It's going to be Cody Riley versus Joey Ryan tonight.
I'd watch that. I'm Hood a big slammers. Fan of Jody Ryan.
Nope, Joey.
That's what I said.
I thought you said Jody.
Oh, if I did, I didn't mean to.
I know you're a big fan. We all know that you're a big fans of wrestling, J. Ross.
Jason's more of a Ring of Honor, New Japan guy.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely is.
The hipster.
He watches the Japanese version of New Japan Pro Wrestling. He doesn't want that English commentary watering it down.
Agreed.
He watches the original content the way it's supposed to be watched. By the way, if you're a wrestling fan and you don't watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, you're missing out. They have the single greatest professional wrestling referee ever. They call him Red Shoes. He's freaking awesome. He is the greatest character in all of sports, I think.
Really?
He's fantastic.
Why? Yeah, he's pretty funny.
What makes him great?
He's just his mannerisms. He doesn't talk, so it's just his mannerisms.
Just his
and the way he moves around the ring, he is literally...
Red Shoes.
He is the third performer in the ring on every main event. It's absolutely incredible. I love the guy.
Okay.
I just want to meet him. Dude, you are my guy. I just want to take a picture, but you got to see his shoes to know who it is.
Red
Shoes. Sorry about that, folks. No. Welcome in. Hour number two of the Lowdown. Damian Barling, the big wrestling fan, New Japan Pro Wrestling fan. That is Jason Ross there. Thanks for reminding me here on the text line. I knew the game was tonight. The Lakers and Sixers are tonight, in addition to, obviously, the Kings in Atlanta, the Kings and the Hawks, which we'll talk about here coming up at the 2 o'clock hour. Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider, will be with us at 2 o'clock as well. But I did forget about this storyline. And thank you for the text line for being honest about this one, 44-1140. You can get at us on the phone lines, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 as well. Remember around the draft, all the chatter from Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons about dunking on Lonzo?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's tonight.
Yeah.
That is. Joel Embiid is a high-level trash talker.
Yeah.
And not like Kevin Garnett is mean. Like, he's a mean trash talker. Draymond Green is a mean-spirited trash talker. Joel Embiid is like, he's funny when he does it.
He does, and he'll keep going. He'll go to Twitter, too. He'll use social media to do it, besides on the court as well. And it's all obviously targeted at LaVar Ball, but he's also said, yeah, I love what he's doing, but he still goes at him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that about him.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic. He's... kind of like Dwight. Dwight wasn't really a trash talker. He was just like a fun.
Yeah.
Did you see the gif of Dwight at the wrestling event last night,
yes,
by the way, to bring this all full circle? That was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know who came back last night on SmackDown making his first appearance since being rather ill?
Who's that?
The Nature Boy.
Really?
Whoa!
Jason doesn't watch the
mainstream. He doesn't watch that mainstream.
It wasn't Sheamus.
No, it was not Sheamus, as a matter of fact. It definitely was not. If you missed the news on the three UCLA players, we mentioned Cody Riley. That's where it came from. Jalen Hill and LiAngelo Ball, who apparently his nickname is Jello.
That always sounded weird when everybody's like even when the athletic, when Jello and
Ball. Well, in this situation, it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Like, don't refer to him as Jello when he just gave a press conference about stealing from, you know, on foreign soil and how he had to think. Governments of two different countries
and
for
was kept there. And,
yeah, like that's probably not the appropriate time to refer to him as his nickname. But I get you're trying to humanize him a little bit.
We're glad Jello's back.
Like,
wait, what?
Yeah, LiAngelo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you didn't know that was his nickname before today, you know it now, and that's you probably can't get it out of your head. But Steve Alford and UCLA have suspended those three players indefinitely, and we spent some time talking about what indefinite might actually mean. The Celtics won their 13th straight game. We talked a little bit about college football playoff rankings. We'll talk a little bit more about those coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. I mentioned something that Kyrie Irving and I have in common, huh?
Yeah.
Best player in all of basketball right now? I'm not going to tell you now. I'm going to make you wait. Maybe that'll be a question we pose to Sam Amick. There seems to be a craze in the NBA regarding this particular trend. Let's get into one small thought, Jason. We got the AFC today. The American Football Conference, and I need you to finish up, so that means I should lead off.
Okay.
I think I did this right today. I'm not positive,
but we'll see.
Let's start with the North, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their offense has been underwhelming at times, especially when you factor in their talent level. That might change. Ben Roethlisberger suggested it's easier, and Juju Smith-Schuster says the team gets a good vibe when Ben is calling the plays. Talking about a no-huddle offense. The Steelers were most successful as an offense against the Colts when they ran the no-huddle offense. They ran 8 plays from the no-huddle and gained 65 yards, including 51 yards on consecutive pass plays to Bryant and Brown with less than a minute to play that set up the game-winning field goal. What's stopping the Pittsburgh Steelers from implementing the no-huddle offense more? We've seen the New England Patriots do it more early in games. We've seen the old Chip Kelly offenses run, you know, no-huddle early in the game. Offensive coordinator Todd Haley hates it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it.
Okay.
And you can never sell me on Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger getting along.
Yeah, it just never has felt right, has it?
I think and Todd Haley is a tool. He is straight off of the Bill Parcells tree of tools. And I can't believe, one, that he's still in Pittsburgh. Two, if Ben wants to run a no-huddle offense, they better start running a no-huddle offense a little bit more because they have not looked good, particularly on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They have not looked good. One small thought on the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are in firm control of their playoff destiny right now. They play 3 backup quarterbacks, and they're 2.5-point favorites against the Green Bay Packers Sunday. They're favored, Jason, in 5 of their 6 remaining games.
Really?
The Baltimore Ravens are favored in 5 of their 6 remaining games. There's no doubt in my mind we can be a successful offense throughout the season. We've shown enough flashes of it based on tape, based on the way I see guys playing and who we do have and haven't had out there. I feel like we have the ability to do that. That's what John Harbaugh said about his offense. The Baltimore Ravens are averaging 16.5 offensive points per game. That ranks 8th in the NFL. 8th worst, excuse me, in the NFL. They have failed to score an offensive touchdown 5 times. Joe Flacco ranks 31st in passer ratings. He's thrown 8 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. That's bad. Wide receiver Jeremy Maclin is averaging a career-worst 11.5 yards per catch, and Mike Wallace is on pace for a career-low reception total of 36. My one small thought is, why the hell are they favored? They're terrible.
Yeah.
What are they? Now, if you want Brett Hundley, Tom Savage, Jacoby Brissett.
They're not winning all of them.
They're favored 5 out of 6 games.
That's crazy.
I find that incredible. The Cincinnati Bengals, you have a third-down conversion problem. Offensively, the Bengals went 1-for-10 on third down against Tennessee, including 0-for-6 in the second half. Against Jacksonville, they went 1-for-8, including an 0-for-5 in the second half. In the win against the Colts, third down conversion problems were still very much an issue. The Bengals went 4-for-11. And in Pittsburgh, they went 3-for-11. You want to guess what they did in the second half? 0-for-5. Fake A.J. Green, Andy Dalton, Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard. They can't do anything right offensively. You got Marvin Lewis calling out players who want to get surgery. All of this nonsense. It's just, it can't get much worse for Cincinnati. Or they could be Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to the Cleveland Browns. The San Francisco 49ers won a game. You're now leading the pack for the number one overall pick. Now, in addition to currently holding the number one overall selection, the Browns also hold Houston's first-round pick in the upcoming draft. If the season were to end today, the Browns would be picking number 1 and number 8. They'd also be drafting number 33, which is the first-round pick of the second round, and 39 in the second round. Again, they have Houston's second-round pick. That's great news, right? They had 11 picks in 2012. How many of those 11 players do you think are on the roster right now?
Gosh. 2.
0.
Wow.
5 aren't in the league anymore.
Got a draft right.
5 picks in 2013. How many of them do you think are on the roster?
0.
None.
Wow.
2014, they drafted 6 players. Number 8 overall, Justin Gilbert. He's out of the league. Remember that quarterback they took in the first round of 2014, Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
He's not in the league. They did hit on one. It was their third round pick, Terrence West. He plays for the Baltimore Ravens now. In 2015, they drafted 12 players. Would you like to guess how many are on the roster? I will give you a hint. It's not zero.
Two.
Five.
Oh.
2012, or 2015, they had 12 players drafted.
And only five are left.
Five are left.
Man.
Over the course of 2012, 13, 14, and 15, there are exactly seven players from those four drafts on the Cleveland Browns roster.
So enjoy the four that they have coming up, high picks that they have coming up.
Exactly.
Get them right.
Exactly. That's what I got on the AFC door. And let me tell you, I spent...
That's tough.
I spent way too much time looking at Cleveland Browns draft picks last night. Like, that one small thought took about an hour to put together, because I'm looking at this like, oh, this is okay. This is interesting. There's a pot at the end of this rainbow here.
Yeah.
I'm looking, okay. And then so when did rookie contracts end? So I go back 4 years. Okay, let's go to 2012. Who renewed with the Browns? No one. 2013. Okay, there'd still be a play. Who renewed? No one. It was like we know how mismanaged they are, but this is an entirely different level of mismanagement.
Browns being the Browns,
indeed.
All right, now time for the one small thought on the AFC South, the Houston Texans. My one small thought on them, the feel-good story is gone. I mean, at that point, earlier in the year, Deshaun Watson gets the call. He's playing well. He's looking every bit the young star that a lot of people thought he could be and maybe surpassing even other people's expectations. Well, since he went down, three straight losses, and Houston now 3-6 without much help coming. I mean, you know, Watson is out, and Savage isn't playing well. It's just... the division, they were kind of in it. They were in the race. But now it's clearly become a two-team race now that Houston is out of the mix. Indianapolis Colts.
Did you say Savage?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Where's Red Shoes?
That's all I wanted to do. Go ahead.
Indianapolis Colts, my one small thought for them. Is this the last bye week for Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis?
Yes.
I mean, it has to be, right?
Yes.
He's dodged dismissal before, and... I feel like he doesn't have the greatest personnel, but it's not for lack of giving him opportunities. He's stuck around maybe longer, a little longer than we thought, and now it's to the point where I don't know that I would fire him on this year alone or not renew him on this year alone, but you can't come back next year with Chuck Pagano. So they have a bye week this week, and I have a feeling this is the last time he's going to get that break until he gets more of a permanent one, certainly from Indianapolis. Jacksonville Jaguars, my one small thought for them is schedule doesn't always play out as we think, but shame on Jacksonville if they don't make the postseason, because here they are, they've won three straight. They're 6-3. In that three-game win streak, though, they have wins against below 500 teams. Now, what's upcoming for them is, and the three wins, by the way, were the Colts, the Bengals, and the Chargers. Still to come on their remaining schedule, they have games against the winless Browns, the one-win 49ers, the Colts, who they've already defeated, who are a mess, and the Texans, who I just talked about. I mean, that's four very winnable games. That would get them to 10 if they just take care of those games, lose the other couple, you're 10-6. You might win the division. But Jacksonville is in position to make a playoff run, certainly to get to the playoffs. And my one small thought on the Tennessee Titans, will they be at their best on this short week? We talked about it yesterday. It's a good game tomorrow night with Pittsburgh and Tennessee. Tennessee's good. They're playing well. They've won four in a row. They're the one that has to travel, though. Generally, that's a little bit more difficult on the Thursday night. As we mentioned, though, they've won four straight. Three of those four, though, have been decided by 4 points or less. So they're finding ways to win the close games. I feel like we'll learn a lot more about this team. I like them. I don't know if I love them, but... they do a lot of things well. I think Mariota still is getting better and getting healthier. They run. That's still what they want to do in their DNA. The defense has been pretty good. But if they beat Pittsburgh, I think we'll think differently about them. If they don't, I don't think we're crushing them. But this is the kind of game where if they win, that'd be five in a row for Tennessee, and I think we'd have to have them higher on our radar in the AFC.
Yeah, completely agree. Let's go to the AFC East, Jay Rost. The New Orleans Saints. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Let's go to the Patriots. Remember... 4 games ago, and you brought this up a few minutes ago, when the Patriots, their defense was awful.
Yeah.
They were giving up more average yards per game than anyone in the entire NFL. Remember when their passing defense was ranked 31st in the league? Remember all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all still exactly the same. They're like above league average in scoring defense. So like that part isn't that bad. I think they're giving them like somewhere around 21 points per game. So what's changed during this, I think it's 5-game win streak? They're number one offense in the league. They got the number one passing offense in the league. What has changed in the 5-game win streak, Jason? Nothing. Not a damn thing. You go back to when they had lost those two games, they still had the number one offense in the league. They still had the number one passing offense in the league. Not one single measurable metric has changed for the New England Patriots. They're even scoring about the same amount of points. Not one thing has changed. Those two losses were a fluke. That's the only way I can put it. Those two losses were an absolute fluke because every single metric is exactly the same. The Jets, Josh McCown has been better than expected, and he should be given credit for that. But you better find a way to protect him. The Jets ranked 23rd. This is for per Pro Football Focus. The Jets ranked 23rd in pass blocking efficiency. They've allowed 62 quarterback hits. That's the sixth most in the NFL. And 32 sacks. That's the second most in the NFL. Their schedule upcoming up, they got Julius Peppers, Justin Houston, Von Miller. They also have Cameron Jordan and Joey Bosa. That's their schedule coming up in terms of pass rushers. The good news is, this is my one small thought on the New York Jets and Josh McCown. Their Week 17 opponent does not have a dominant pass rusher. It's the New England Patriots. What's my thought on the Miami Dolphins? Let me give you a quote from Adam Gase. We just kind of lost our way. Just for a minute. We need to regroup and get things back on track. This group is pretty good at moving on. Coaching staff, too. It's our job. We have a lot of time left. It's not like anybody is running away with anything. It's a total disaster everywhere. Yeah, bro, your team is coming off three straight primetime games in which you were outscored 112-45.
Woo!
We kind of lost our way just for a minute.
Yeah, that's a long minute.
112-45 in primetime. Your first half production, the Dolphins have been outscored on the season 114-43 in the first half. That is an average of 4.7 points per game before halftime. We just kind of lost our way just for a minute. So I prepared this stuff the night before because there's a lot of research that goes into this one small slot. So for the Buffalo Bills,
yeah,
I had this. When you look at their numbers, their strong suit was their defense. Their strong suit was playing at home. Both of those things came to an end. Let's do some numbers here, Jay Ross. 37 is the scoring margin in the Bills' loss to the Saints, the largest loss in Buffalo since 2007. 56 passing yards. That's how many Tyrod Taylor had. The lowest mark in his 38 NFL starts. 492. That is the amount of rushing yards that the Buffalo Bills have given up in the last two games. Now you're going to take on former coach Anthony Lynn. And now you've benched your starting quarterback.
Yeah, you better be right on that decision.
So Nathan Peterman, the guy from Seinfeld, mm-hmm. joins Blaine Gabbert, Kellen Clemens, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Macho Man, Tommy Savage, as quarterbacks who will start an NFL game this Sunday. You better be right on this call
mm-hmm.
because you're 5-4. You're still very you might be disappointed over the last couple of weeks, but you're still very, very much in the mix. And to the best of my knowledge of football, Tyrod Taylor had absolutely nothing to do with you giving up damn near 1,000 yards to the New Orleans Saints running backs.
Yeah, I mean, the playoffs start, they're in. They're actually the last team in.
They are.
And you're changing quarterbacks.
You better be right. Because Sean McDermott, you won me over a couple of weeks ago. I was all about it. I loved the Buffalo. I loved what you guys were doing. I wasn't happy when you lost to the Jets. I wasn't sure where this game with New Orleans would go. You better be right that Peterman is your guy, man. or you're going to take a verbal beating across the NFL because the Bills looked relevant for a minute. Now you're playing around. Right. I think that's a bad look.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it for me.
That's it for you. No Saints. We're done with Saints for sure.
We could do the Saints if you want to. We actually did manage to work the Saints into the Buffalo Bills one small time.
That was good. All right, now we'll finish up with the AFC West. Denver Broncos. Who knew that they peaked on October 3rd? That was after the win over the Raiders, 16-10. Denver was 3-1. Now, since then, they've lost 5 straight games. They have changed quarterbacks. They gave the Giants, yes, that team, the Giants, their first and only win. They were shut out by the Chargers. They lost to the Eagles by 28 and to the Patriots by 25. They've been outscored by 97 points in this streak. Denver is a hot mess. Nothing but a mess.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
You got KC, you got Los Angeles, and you've got the Oakland Raiders. You've got your Oakland Raiders. Jay Ross will give us his one small thought on that. We'll talk a little bit college basketball. And what do I have in common with Kyrie Irving and a number of NBA players? We got that for you next on The Lowdown.
Wow, what is this?
Hold me.
Is this like for the weather? Like we're just supposed to chill? I don't want to talk higher than this volume right now.
It's 56 degrees outside.
What is this? It's Post Malone. All right. I don't think I can bring the volume, the tone of my delivery up above this while that music is playing.
That's fine.
What's going to be real great is when the people are listening to this on the podcast.
Oh, yes, that is fantastic. We're going to be the podcast is going to be undergoing a makeover. I wonder if we can get the music. It was only the current company that didn't allow us to have music on there. They said that was music and certain sound was not allowed. I wonder if that's changing.
I would hope so.
I would, because our podcast would make so much more freaking sense if the audio was allowed to be in it.
Yes.
But, I mean, I listen to a ton of podcasts. They all have audio in it.
Mm-hmm.
Locked On Kings podcast has it. The Great Deuce and Moe podcast has audio in it. We have to remove ours.
Maybe not for long.
So much of what we do makes no sense when you can't hear the audio. It actually sounds, it just sounds like a bunch of special people with a microphone and a podcast. Yeah. Like, it just does not work. So hopefully we'll able to make those changes. But that's why you haven't heard us talk about the podcast and radio online and listening and streaming, because all that stuff is going to be undergoing a makeover here as we head into the holidays next week. And hopefully by the time we get out of the holidays, we'll have some of that stuff straightened out for you. But however you listen to us now, continue to listen to us that way until further notice. We have one small thought. We haven't quite wrapped up on the AFC West. You just touched on the Broncos and how they peaked about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the teams there, J-Rob?
How about Kansas City? Next, one small thought for them. Expect a bounce back for Kansas City. The Chiefs have just finished a stretch where they lost 3 of 4, but they also just had their bye, and that's a good thing. Andy Reid after bye is generally a very good thing.
He's unbeatable.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So that's good. They still are a very good team. The Chiefs also have a very favorable schedule the rest of the way. They play only one team with a winning record, and that is Buffalo, who you highlighted a few minutes ago, and they're not only sliding, they're making a change of quarterback. So.
By the way, J. Ross, the text line is not feeling Peterman. They're not feeling.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
They're not feeling pulling Tyrod Taylor out at all.
And maybe he'll be great, but that's what he's going to have to do is prove everybody wrong, because I don't see it either.
Yeah, you better be great.
Yeah.
Again, and you know what's crazy is I wasn't big on Tyrod Taylor coming into the season at all. Mm-hmm. And sorry, I don't want to take away.
Yeah, but
I thought he had played himself into the position. Like, hey, he's doing
fine.
Pretty well. The team is. You know, they were 5-2. They're 5-4 now. You still got an opportunity. Playoffs started today.
They're in.
You still have an opportunity to be there in six weeks, 7 weeks. I'm so taken aback by that. It's so you
seems
normally
like a
see
panic.
This for yeah. You normally see this for teams that are like 3 or 4 games under 500. This is a Cleveland Browns move. Like this isn't a team that's 5-4. It surprises me. I'm sorry. I took a glance at the text line there during the commercial break, and yeah, definitely not. Not feeling it at all.
All right, so from the Chiefs, we'll move on to the Chargers. And my one small thought for them is, what if? And we've done that before on other sports scenarios, but I bet they are thinking what if on a couple of scenarios. I still think this team is actually okay, pretty good, maybe above average, but they get in their own way a lot. They did it again this last week. 4 of their losses have been by 3 points or less. They have made losing in heartbreaking fashion a skill. Their other what if, though, was interesting this week. Dean Spanos and a few other NFL owners were at the groundbreaking in Las Vegas for the Raiders. And I can't help but think that Dean Spanos at some point during that was going, what if this was us?
Yeah.
And not in L.A. where we're having troubles. We can't get fans. People don't want us there. We're not succeeding. We're in a mess. So I think, for me, the one small thought on the Chargers is what if the team on the field and certainly in the front office. And the last one is your Oakland Raiders. To make the playoffs, my one small thought is they're going to have a benchmark win or two. Because just looking at their schedule, if they get in, and we've kind of put the number at 10 for them to get in, to feel really comfortable about getting them in, that means they have to go 6-1. To go 6-1, you have to win at least two of these games that I'm going to say. That's New England in Mexico. You got to win against Kansas City in Kansas City.
But you already beat them this year.
Yeah, but a crazy game, but you beat them here, but you got to beat them there. And you're going to have to win or, you know, and or at Philadelphia.
Ugh. So when's the Philly? Philly, when's that one?
That's Christmas.
Yikes. Yeah.
So you've got at Philly, who, if you're not the best, they're one of the best. New England, who is hot. Kansas City is a good team.
Yeah.
You probably have to win two of those, maybe all three. And now, if you win all three, you got a little more wiggle room, then you're going to lose something else you shouldn't. But the Raiders would earn it, and they've looked differently. They would be looked at differently if they do that. The other thing that needs to happen is Derek Carr needs to play better in the second half of the season. In the wins this year, Damon, he's thrown for 300 yards a game, 9 touchdowns, and 1 interception.
Okay.
In the losses, he's thrown for 186 with 4 TDs and 6 interceptions. So one sounds like an MVP. The other one sounds like
a Cleveland Browns quarterback.
Yeah. Nathan Peterman or something.
Right.
Yeah, one of the other guys that's getting the random start this week. So yeah. He's better than that. He needs to play at that high level. And we knew his value was important to the team, but I didn't know that he had to have the stats, but he kind of does for that team to have a chance.
Carr's going to get yanked for Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, man.
One of those many stars that are playing in the – I don't mean to keep going back to this, but you keep talking about NFL ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Who is tuning in? Did you see the game the other night was the lowest rated Sunday night football game in history?
Really?
No one wanted to see Jay Cutler play football.
Yeah.
Shocker, right? Like, who knew? Like, who wants to tune in and watch Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tommy Savage and Nate effing Peterman?
Yeah. Blaine Gabbert. Pick your guy.
Dude, oh, it's brutal, man. Absolutely brutal. A lot of people tuned in last night to watch number one versus number two, Duke versus Michigan State. Did you?
I saw parts of it. I didn't see the entirety of the game. I saw parts of both games.
I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I was sitting there like, the Kings aren't playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
There's no football game. There's no marquee basketball game. I was trying to follow what Boston was doing on the iPad. Yeah, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And I turned it off. I just didn't want to watch. And then I came back with like 9 minutes left because it was close. So I watched the final 9 minutes of Michigan State and Duke. I didn't watch the second half. I watched Michigan State and Duke, and then obviously I watched the college football stuff that was between the two games. But, I mean, you know, I knew Marvin Bagley was out because I was actually watching when that play happened. And we had gotten a lot of texts last night about Kings fans wanting to watch the Duke game because they wanted to see who could potentially be their first pick of the draft. That eye poke he got was one of the worst I've ever seen in basketball.
Yeah.
Like, there was penetration. Like, it looks so gross.
Yeah.
It looked awful. And I wouldn't be surprised if he said, I'm not coming back for a couple of games.
Ever.
Yeah, like, that was bad.
Yeah.
And Grayson Allen, he learned from his indefinite suspension last year of one game and put up 37 last night.
Yeah, and we've said this before, but I feel like it happens every year when you know, at the end of the year, whether you're a Kings fan or an NBA fan, you kind of get caught up on, hey, these are the guys I should watch, or we watch the tournament and you get caught up in that. So if Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox, those kind of guys were back year two at UCLA in Kentucky, and it's like, oh, yeah, I know them. I remember them. Yeah, I want to see them. But now it's the next batch, and I haven't, you know, I've heard about Bagley and a few of these other young guys. I need more time to kind of see them, to watch them, and then it's like, but then it's just, the cycle is kind of crazy.
It's college basketball. Is there anyone left who loves college basketball? I used to know people, obviously I still know a few, but I mean, I used to know a lot of people who loved college basketball.
I was one of those.
Yeah, yeah,
I was.
You've said that before. You don't anymore.
Mm-mm.
does anybody like who? Because there are people that love college football. There are people that love college football more than the NFL.
Yeah,
and I think you can make an argument that the
I might be close to one.
Yeah, the college football can be more entertaining than the NFL. That conversation generally isn't had when it comes to basketball. Mm-hmm. That the NCAA is more entertaining than the NBA, or hey, I can't go out tonight, man. Duke and Michigan are playing. I got to get home and see this. Or Duke and Michigan State are playing. We've gotten to the point now, as you just said, Lonzo Ball coming back for a second year, or De'Aaron Fox or whoever, these players coming back, and you realize Duke is Coach K.
Yeah.
And Michigan State is Tom Izzo.
Yeah, and it was the four coaches.
It's
were
Roy Williams, so, yeah. And it's these. Coach it's Cal, this. It's yeah. coaches. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's nothing else. There's no player to or program to really gravitate to. You just gravitate towards the coach unless you went to a school. Then that's you rep your school.
Right.
That's it.
And I think people, just like in anything that we follow sports, will get back into it in March.
Yeah.
And then kind of, that guy's pretty good. Have you been watching him all? You know, it's just we make an assessment on what we see in the tournament.
Well, that's what cracked me up last year. Oh, we got to draft Malik Monk over so and so. We got have you really been watching?
Yeah.
You really been paying attention to all this? Even I'm not. Like, right. I can't. I have zero with basketball and football. I'll pay attention, and if one of those boring nights comes along, I'll flip over. But there's some times where you just, I don't want to watch an athletic contest. And I have no reason to watch college basketball right now. I don't care if Tom Izzo beats Coach K or if Coach K beats Tom Izzo. Give me a player to watch.
Yeah.
Give me something to see. We'll come back. I've been telling you this. First, you're going to hear Blake Griffin and the things you only hear in L.A. It's fantastic, and it's going to be a good segue into what Kyrie Irving and I and a number of NBA players have in common. Couple of texts here on the text line at 44-1140. Raiders defense needs an interception. They have a total of... zero. That's a really bad stat.
That's a crazy stat to have zero at this point.
Another one here. Who's the best college basketball player you guys have watched? Mine, J.J. Redick. What he did his senior year was off the charts. Anyone stand out to you? Best college player you ever watched? Tim Tebow. No, I don't remember. I can't remember. That's a good question. I'll have to think about that for a while. I remember J.J. Redick's senior year, and it was pretty... it's pretty intense, but I don't like. That's a hard one to
it just
kind of come up with like on the spot.
Like as an individual, like Redick obviously stayed at school longer, so he has more numbers and did more things and got better. And I mean, I think of to me part of what college basketball maybe it's when you grow up, but like in my early 90s watching UNLV, Duke, into Michigan, like that kind of those trio of teams where UNLV was dominant, Michigan started something different, Duke was great, Kentucky was pretty good. You know, there was great players in there, but they did stay around a little bit long. Like Weber left after 2 years, and that was, my goodness.
Yeah, he's leaving.
Whoa.
You're old, Jason. Didn't you watch Pete Maravich play or something like that?
No, I played against him.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
You beat him.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Blake Griffin went to Oklahoma.
Yeah,
Blake
did.
Griffin did.
He was awesome.
He was fantastic. He was that. Wasn't he the number one pick the year the Kings had the worst record in the league, but still wound up with the worst possible pick for the worst?
Yeah, that's who they were going for, hopefully getting, but they didn't.
And then it became Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
And then, no, not Ricky Rubio. That was Tyreek, right?
Yeah, they got the rookie of the year.
Yeah, they got the rookie of the year.
Who's playing really well now, by the way, in Memphis.
Yeah.
For what they paid for him, like $3 million. He's playing really well.
Something's starting to make me feel like David Fizdale's a really good coach. I don't know what it is, but something's got me thinking that he's pretty good. I mentioned Blake Griffin. He did a skit for the big board in L.A. About things L.A. people say, and I thought Sacramento Kings fans would get a kick out of this. It's his tone of voice that's making me laugh. That would make me laugh.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Blake, I think, is legit
funny. He is funny. I agree with you.
I think Blake is legit funny. I've never heard that one before, but I'm absolutely using it. Dead. Casket. I'm absolutely using that. I had been telling you this. Me and Kyrie got a lot in common.
A lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, something. Actually, me and some of your favorite NBA players have a lot in common, including, I think... and we're going to have to verify this probably tomorrow if we can get him on. Your favorite Sacramento King, Kyrie, the second most clutch player in the NBA. He has the second most clutch points in the NBA right now. He's a vegan. He switched to eating vegan this offseason. Yeah. You know who the most clutch player with the most clutch points in the NBA is this season?
I don't.
Another guy who switched to being vegan in the offseason. Damian Lillard.
Ah.
There's a movement.
Yes.
I mentioned your favorite Sacramento King.
Yep.
It's obvious. Garrett Temple.
Yeah, he's in there.
I didn't know that he switched. I know that he had watched. I saw him write something about What the Health? Is that what it was called? That got a lot of people's attention for some reason. There's a dozen documentaries. Maybe they're not on Netflix, which is why people don't notice them, but there's Forks Over Knives. There's a ton of them just like that. But for some reason, What the Health got everybody's attention. And I remember Garrett tweeting about watching that. And then Garrett was more offended about all of the money that, like, pharmaceutical companies get and all of the, like, those industries get. And I didn't realize that he had switched to either. I don't know if he's vegan or vegetarian or what.
I know he's just at least the one thing, because I think it's something we're talking about in the pregame today, honestly, is how much he's at least just eliminated meat, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I don't know the entirety of his old diet.
I don't know how I didn't know this before. Again, I saw the tweets. I just didn't realize he switched, because that would have been the first topic of conversation the first time we had him on the phone. But again, I think he might join us tomorrow. We try to get him on days that there aren't any games. As you're aware, Kings play the Hawks in Atlanta tonight. Kings play the Blazers at the Golden 1 Center on Friday. Process of elimination. Garrett Temple should probably be joining us tomorrow. But Bleacher Report did a big article on the number of NBA players that have gone vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost made me feel good.
What should?
Will you guys stop making fun of me?
It's just the kale chips, the stinky kale chips.
Well, you said they did not smell good, so I stopped bringing them.
Yeah.
I stopped buying them because you said
when was last time we made fun of you about your eating? It's actually very impressive. We shouldn't be making fun of you.
Shouldn't, but.
You're a fitness machine.
Oh, stop that.
You are.
I am not. Well, wait a minute. I just saw something.
Oh, yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott. It's over. Ezekiel Elliott withdraws appeal and will serve his full 6-game suspension. It will not go to the Supreme Court.
It's about where Tom Brady
Jerry Jones is rolling over in his grave. We'll be right back.